Listen Lysak,
the podcast about glass processing. Hi, and welcome back to Listen Lysak, the podcast for everyone interested in glass processing. My name is Sarah Hummelsberger. I am part of the Lysak marketing team. And with me in the podcast studio today is my colleague Harald.
Hello, nice to be here. I'm Harald Miksch, and I'm a product manager here at Lysak.
Nice to have you. Our podcast studio is located at our production site in Lower Austria, and we are recording inside the training center. So there might be some machines moving in the background or operators being trained. But moving, specifically glass moving, already brings me to the topic of today's podcast. You left me and our listeners last time with a cliffhanger. You claimed logistics is a game changer in flat glass processing. So today you have to tell me why that is.
Indeed. Logistics play a very important role in today's global economy. Like, do you remember when the Ever Given, that big container ship, got stuck in the Suez Canal?
Yeah, I sure do.
Back then, international supply chains got disrupted. Delivery times went up, and it took ages for my coffee maker to arrive. And the same is true for the logistics within an industrial company. Any disturbance of the material flow of a certain magnitude can bring the whole production to a grinding halt.
So let's get specific. What types of logistics systems are necessary to operate a flat glass production?
Well, I'd organize them in three distinct areas. We have inbound logistics to get jumbo glass sheets into the warehouse. Then there is intra logistics to move materials through the production. And outbound logistics, where the final products are transported to the customers.
I think we already mentioned those special trucks that transport the jumbo sheets from the warehouse to the glass production. Perhaps today is the day to take a closer look at them. What makes them different from regular trucks?
Yeah, you know, a regular truck transports good on the truck bed, but those special trucks have a recess on the loading area instead, which accommodates a jumbo glass rack. And the rack is not moved into the truck. Instead, the truck moves over the rack and lifts it into the loading area. And unloading works just the same way. As you might expect, this only works when the glass is stacked vertically on what's called a rack. Could be an A rack or an L rack.
This is the first time we mentioned types of racks today, but I'm thinking it won't be the last. So let's consider ways to store glass. Can you give us an overview?
Sure. Racks are very common to store and transport glass sheets. And which of them is being used depends actually on how you need to access those sheets. L-racks and A-racks both carry stacks of glass. L-racks on one side, A-racks on both sides. These are very easy to visualize. Just think of the letters A and L. That's the profile of the rack. And that means that you can only load onto the stack and unload the last sheet that has been loaded. But there are also situations where you want to access every single sheet of glass of the rack individually, regardless of the loading sequence. Then you need hub cots, which offer a row of open slots. You can take out any glass pane at any given time.
So my guess is every type has a very specific area of use.
Basically, yes. In the glass warehouse, jumbo sheets are loaded off the transport rack onto the warehouse racks, which are either L-racks or A-racks, depending on how you can access them. Within the production, you mainly use A-racks or hub cots. And then, when it comes to the delivery, we are back to the A-racks. By the way, all of these store glass vertically. Only very few steps of the production happen with the glass sheets lying horizontally.
Interesting. Which steps are these?
On the top of my head, mainly glass cutting, toughening, and lamination.
Why those three specifically?
Well, ideally, we would do all steps vertically, because that would need the least amount of space, which is a scarce resource on the shop floor. But there are situations where gravity works against us, and then we switch to horizontal processing.
So if we store the jumbo sheets vertically, and for the next step, cutting, they need to be horizontal, how does the switch work?
Yeah, you're right. In the warehouse, jumbo sheets are stored vertically. There, a feeding system, for example, an overhead crane, picks up the topmost sheet and transport it vertically to a tilting table that then feeds it into a cutting table horizontally.
So I imagine the next step would be the operator takes off the cut glass panes, stacks them onto a rack, and they move to the next machine.
Exactly. But this step is way more complicated than it seems. This is where logistics really come into play. Logistics here mean to have the right piece of glass at the right time, at the right place. So the challenge is to place the glass panes in the right sequence on the racks that take them to the next place.
And how does the operator know on which rack to stack the panes so they get to the right machine?
Well, this information is usually pre-calculated by a production planning system and displayed either on a printout or on the monitors on the shop floor. Once the glass is taken off the table, it is only identifiable by its position on the rack. Therefore, at this point, many productions put labels on the glass or laser in a barcode to keep it identifiable throughout the entire process. Loading and unloading onto racks may happen multiple times to a glass pane until it becomes a finished product ready for delivery.
So that sounds like a lot of manual steps, and that also potentially means heavy lifting and I guess the danger of mistakes or accidents.
Well, there are possibilities to automate. On one hand, loading and unloading can be handled by robots. Humans, you know, get tired or distracted, while robots are great at repeating the same task over and over again without getting bored or hurting their back.
All right, so you've managed to automate brawn. What about brains?
There is a technology that allows you to unlock a potential in the production that racks on their own can hardly ever reach. This solution is called a buffer system, and that can store a certain amount of glass panes and reorganize them according to the next step. It can even react to changing priorities, bring forward panes needed more urgently, for example, in case a glass breaks and needs to be remade. In principle, a buffer is a big hub cut that is being loaded and unloaded automatically.
So would you agree to call the buffer the brains of the production?
In a way, yes. But at the same time, it is also the heart, because the buffer coordinates the flow of the material and acts as a pacemaker for the entire production. It routes the glass from the warehouse to the cutting table to various processing steps to the final A-rack where the finished product waits for delivery.
Now that we've reached delivery, I'm supposing there's also the logistics involved.
You'd be right. The main goal of delivery logistics is to get the goods to the customer on time. Pretty straightforward until secondary goals come into play. You want your trucks to take the most efficient route. You want to use the least number of trucks, but you don't have infinite loading capacity on your trucks. And to make things even more complicated, you don't have to deliver full racks only, but collect empty runs as well. This takes either a very experienced dispatch planner or very sophisticated software that supports the entire process.
So I'm beginning to see why you're calling logistics a game changer. It seems you only have to tweak small things in the logistics system to have a huge impact on the production. Now that makes me curious, what about the future? What do you see coming in the next few years?
Let me think about that. I see major developments taking place in probably three areas: the warehouse, the production, and obviously outbound logistics.
And I'm, of course, curious about all three of them. What about the first one? What's new in the warehouse?
Well, a major challenge in the warehouse is the speed with which stock plates can be transported to the cutting table. The issue compounds when your warehouse feeds multiple cutting tables. To shorten the distance, whole racks are transported over to the cutting table and unloaded continuously by a shuttle. The racks only need to be changed when a different glass type is required. This makes most sense, obviously, if the cutting optimization extends over multiple stock sheets. You get the most out of this solution if you combine it with a compactor storage system, which is structured almost like an accordion. This means it compacts the racks to the least amount of space and expands only at the slot where you need to remove the next L-rack.
That solution sounds quite ingenious. What about the production?
In the production, The main focus is removing manual glass handling, like loading and unloading with robots, and rack handling with automated guided vehicles. When it comes to robots, the challenge lies in serving more than one machine and more than one rack at the same time. To allow for multiple racks, they are put on carousels, making them rotatable. This way, racks can be switched out once empty without interrupting the entire process. Meanwhile, the racks are towed through the production by self-driving vehicles.
That sounds quite futuristic, almost like a lights-out production. Last, what about the outbound logistics?
Well, I said outbound logistics, but it's actually more than that. The whole production planning is determined by outbound logistics. Right now, many productions follow the push principle. The goal is to produce as much as possible on a single day with the machines at hand. This leads to overproduction on a single day and a large amount of finished goods standing around waiting for shipment. The new approach follows the pull principle. Daily production is only determined by the product that need to be ready for delivery on the next day. That reduces the finished goods warehouse and frees up space in the production for better use.
So what I've learned today is logistics can really give you an edge, which leads us almost seamlessly to our next podcast episode, edge seaming and also other types of edge processing. For today, thank you so much for your insights.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Listen Lysak, the podcast about glass processing. Visit lysak.com to find out more about our innovative machines, automation solutions, software and services made in Austria.
Or visit our company blog to read about the latest in glass processing and glass finishing. For more insights, listen Lysak.